This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your Beltway Blitz every day at noon in one segment, jam-packed, a lot of content and information on multiple teams that you care about. Coming up at 12:18, we got your starting lineups for today's Nats game. We are live at Nats Park. They play in an hour at 1:05. Pre-game starts at 12:30. We are off the air early today. That's coming up in the Blitz as well when we talk to Craig Ice. But let's kick things off with the Redskins. J.P. Finley covers the Redskins for CSNMidAtlantic.com. J.P., question of the day is the availability of some of these injured players. Any of this group, Crowder, Doxson, Reed, going to play offensively this week, or what about a guy like Junior Gallette? Sounds like it's still a couple weeks from now, right?
I think we see Crowder. I'm not sure if you mentioned him in there or not, but Crowder was going in team drills before we left Richmond. And I think he's much closer than the other guys. I think we see Doxson week three. Reed, I'm still not sure when we'll see him. He was running routes in Richmond before we left, but he was running routes with a trainer throwing him the ball, and it didn't look like full speed. Gallette, I don't even know that the hamstring tweak is something to worry about. I think the team is just going to play it super safe with him, especially now. And Russell and I were tweeting about this earlier. I think the impact of the Trent Murphy injury is being a little underestimated out there. I think having to rely on Junior Gallette now instead of having him as kind of a bonus production changes that dynamic a bit, and the Skins are going to be very cautious with him.
Yeah, Jesper Parnevik-Finley, how's it going to get filled? Who do you see starting maybe week 1, week 8, week 16, kind of some of those milestones in there? How's that outside linebacker? I know they're going to rotate. They did a bunch last year, but bulk of the series, biggest amount of reps at that outside linebacker spot opposite Ryan Kerrigan. Who do you see?
Preston Smith. I think he's kind of flown a little bit under the radar, especially with the sprained ankle he sustained, you know, last week, I guess. But I think he'll be back maybe this week, certainly week 3. And it's a big year for Preston. I know that you guys have talked about what should they expect, what can they get from him. And a lot of that production as a rookie came in one game against the Eagles on a night where he was very emotionally charged. So the Redskins are going to have to get consistent effort from Preston Smith week after week, and I think they are really hoping to get it. Junior Gallette should be a situational pass rusher for them. He has shown well against the run in Richmond, but you got to consider his snaps to be kind of finite, and you want to use those at his best skill and where the Redskins need him most. And then you still got Ryan Anderson. I think he's a little bit away from being a real pass rush threat for the Skins. He's a high-intensity guy, so he'll get to the quarterback on some plays. But his best skill already, he might already be the Redskins' best run-stuffing outside linebacker, and I think they'll try to use him in those situations as much as they can.
Of new defensive linemen, Terrell McClain and Stacy McGee signed via free agency, who comes out of camp having impressed the team more and expected to be better this season?
I'd say McGee. McGee can really take on blockers, and I think if this thing shapes up the way we think it might with Phil Taylor in the middle, John Allen on one side, maybe Stacy McGee on the other. John Allen's a guy that wants to shoot gaps, so they're going to need Stacy McGee to be absorbing blockers on the other side.
Jeff Probst-Finley, offensively, how do you think it's going to go this weekend? Is it sort of the, we'll just have a snap count and that'll be that, or do you think Jay Gruden's going to demand some production here? How do you think they're going to play it this weekend after that really lousy showing in week 1?
Well, I certainly think they want production. I don't know that you can demand it. I mean, just the way the game of football is. To me, the math has to be as such. The starters on both sides of the ball need to see three quarters of action between the Packers game and the Bengals game. And the coaches can divide that up any way they want. But these guys need the reps. They need the live snaps. And if that's a quarter this week and a half next week, that's fine. But whatever it is, it's got to add up to that total or more to get these guys ready to go September 10th against the Eagles.
J.P. Finley, CSN Mid-Atlantic. Check him out for Redskins information. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
Let's talk some baseball. Craig Heist covers the Nats for us here on 106.7 The Fan. Heist star Gio Gonzalez for the second time in a couple weeks flirted with a no-hitter last night, one of the deepest no-hit bids I'd ever seen, all the way up until the sixth inning last night. What'd you think?
Well, he was really good, threw strike one quite a bit, and the breaking ball was pretty devastating at times last night, but he gave up the infield hit in the sixth, and that was followed by another single, so it was kind of imperative he got out of that inning without giving up any runs. He did throw 96 pitches, 49 no strikes, but he was ahead of hitters, so again, it was another typical Gio outing that we've seen from him this year. Nice tempo, I would say, primarily for that outing last night.
Heisty, I seem to ask you this pretty much every time you come on, but it sounds like we've now got some updates here about some of these long-injured, long-awaited returns from some of these Nationals. Let's start with Jason Wirth. There's an actual bit of news about Jason Wirth. Share it with the folks.
Yeah, he's going to go down to West Palm Beach and then continue the rehab and then probably go out on a rehab assignment not in the not-too-distant future. And again, it's like Dusty emphasized, we've been talking about his lack of ability to be able to run on that toe and that foot, but that seems to be getting a little bit better. So, you know, once the rehab games start for him, and that should be in another week and a half, we'll know more about how his progression is going before we get to September. But they want to get him back, I would say, at least the first 2 weeks of September, second week of September, so if he can get enough playing time and enough at-bats, he's sharp enough going into the postseason.
Ryan Madsen's finger, not a blister, something else. What can you tell us?
Well, we don't know just yet. He was being looked at this morning, and then they're going to make a decision on that later once they find out a little bit more about what it is. So there's some soreness in the finger. Just what's causing it, they don't quite know yet. But again, that's a little bit of a concern considering he's one of the guys in this bullpen. Well, Kinsler gave up an earned run last night, but he has yet to give up a run. So that's a concern right now going forward, I would think.
Heisty, there's been no timetable, so I'm asking you to put your medical coat on and walk around with a clipboard checking off if a patient has prescriptions fulfilled or not. But what is the thinking around Bryce Harper and that bone bruise? It's obviously significant. No one's saying rush it. But nobody seems to be giving any indication. It could be a week, it could be a month, 6 weeks. No one knows. What are you hearing? What's the kind of consensus? What's the feeling? What's percolating through that clubhouse about when we might see Bryce again?
From the people that I've talked to, Danny, when they initially came out and said that it was a hyperextension and a bone bruise, that to me, having dealt with a few of those in terms of players in the past, said 2 to 4 weeks. I'm thinking this is going to be probably a 3 to 4 week thing for Bryce, as long as that bone bruise is not any more serious than what's led to believe at this point.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for us on 106.7 The Fan. You can follow his Twitter account and follow 106.7 The Fan for information throughout, before, and after every game that he keeps us up to date on. As you look ahead now for the Nats, what is their stretch run to-do list look like, other than get healthy? Let's skip that. But things that they've got to be doing when the playoff starts to make sure they don't have another early exit.
Well, you know, that to me is the number one thing, is to get healthy. But the other thing, I think Dusty's got a balancing act between now and, you know, the last 6 weeks of this season, in that you want to keep the guys who have played well fresh and have them keep their edge, but you know they're also going to lose some playing time when the regulars are ready to come back. Now, today, Brian Goodwin went on the 10-day DL with a little bit of a groin injury, so they're going to give that some time to heal and make sure he's right. They did pick up they brought up Alejandro Diaza, so we'll see just how much he plays. But I think that's the biggest balancing act is the guys at Dusty who have performed so well for him in the absence of his regular players. He's got to make sure that they're healthy and ready to go when they do come back, so it doesn't look like there's a ton of rust on them. And I think that's probably the biggest thing going forward. And, I mean, this team plays hard every day. I don't think that's going to be an issue as far as, like, keeping their edge and keeping their focus as they head toward the postseason.
Hi, Steve. Let's go back to Gio for a moment. He's having a career year. I understood how it happened in 2012. He's throwing mid-90s. The breaking ball falls off the table, and he's nasty. This is a guy that's now living at 88, pitching on the inner half at times. He's mixing that changeup more than he ever has. How is he doing this? How has he been this good, the third best ERA among starters in all of baseball? This is an incredible year that's getting overlooked. We now just expect him to carry no-hit bids in the sixth or seventh inning. Just seems unfathomable given last year and the years before. How's he doing it?
Well, the simplest answer I can give you is he's turned into even being more of a pitcher than he was before. He knows he's got to get ahead in the count. He knows he's got to throw strike one, get the fastball command. And granted, it's not 95 and 96 anymore. It is, like you said, upper 80s, low 90s, but he's got to throw that for strikes. That sets up everything else he tries to do with hitters with his breaking stuff. And I think Mike Maddux has been a real godsend for Joe in terms of him straightening him out. They've got him to throw faster. He doesn't have as many high pitch counts as we were used to seeing in the last couple of years. And I think that all kind of rolls into it and why he's been successful.
Hi, Steve. Great job as always. Thanks for joining us on the Blitz.
All right, guys. Take care.
We'll be tracking your work throughout the game. If you want more on the Nationals, listen to the DC Quick Pitch. It's a weekly podcast Danny and I provide, brought to you by Elephant Auto Insurance. We post every Monday afternoon right after our show. We go in-depth on everything DC baseball and Major League Baseball, the latest from the Nats Clubhouse, interviews and expert analysis. Check it out every Monday afternoon on thefandc.com, play.it, and it's also available on iTunes. Your starting lineups will get you set for the first pitch, which is less than an hour away, live at Nats Park, and the latest couple of NFL news and notes from this morning as well before we step away. Grant and Danny wrapping up our abbreviated show. Next, Charlie and Dave at the bottom of the hour.
Issued the Ted Britt Challenge on Twitter for my second Ted Britt read of the day. Today's winner, little John Gruden talking about Ted Britt Ford. Like to hear it, here it go. Let me tell you something, man. I've been to a lot of car dealerships, man. I drive a lot of cars. I drove a car here this morning. I'm going to drive away later. What I like, Ted Britt Ford, man. Here's what Ted Britt Ford does. They give you great customer care, give you a great deal on a car. They take the car's prices, what you'd expect it to be, and they offer it to you for less than that. How about that? That's great work by Ted Britt Ford. Down here at the FFCA, what we like to do is drive cars to park, to practice and look at film. I love looking at tape, man. Spider too wide, banana Xerxes, banana spider. That's a terrifying. You ever seen a spider like that? Terrifying. They're big and yellow, and they jump at you. I don't like that kind of spider. What I do like is 125% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in, man. You go down there, you don't get 100%, you get 125%. That's more than 100 by at least 25%. 0% financing, man. 72 months on a Fusion, an Escape, an Edge, an Explorer. You got to love that. Plus $1,000 trade-in assistance. That's a heck of a deal. What you want to do, go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford and Fairfax or Chantilly. Just a quick way, tedbritt.com. You got to tell them Danny sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.